Halloween is fast approaching, and you know what? I'm seeing ghosts everywhere, man. This is the Push Off!
Set 'em up and knock 'em down till the early morning light. Till you're laughing on the ground, drinking every single night. Where we're going, we don't know, and where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know until we know. Where we're going, we don't know, and where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know.
All right, everybody, we're here. It's Wednesday. We're here for another episode of the Push Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend while getting you ready for the next. I'm your host, Scott Hogan, sitting across from the table from me, as always.
Dan, precious as a Belichick smile. Right.
Dan, we're here. Week 7 just completed, which means we're heading into week 8. Season's half over.
We're almost there, man.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Most of the league, a pretty good clip of the league, will be half in the can by the end of this week.
And with the trade deadline coming up, you're starting to see that from the GMs. You're starting to see who's the sellers and who's the buyers, like we saw last week.
People know. You know, it used to be a sadder situation in the NFL where you would see a talent, even a mid-tier talent, maybe not an elite talent that you can re-sign and build around, but you'd see these mid-tier talents kind of languish on dying teams.
Right.
No more. No more, sir. Those guys get shipped off for relatively, like, you know, small assets, but these are guys that would leave you at the end of the year anyway for greener pastures, so get something out of them.
Yeah, a little more wheeling and dealing, picking up draft picks if you're a team that doesn't think you're going to go all the way this year. That's the smart moves. That really is, even though you don't want to see that from your team, that's how you build a cohesive one for the following years.
Yeah, the expansion, we talked about it before, but the expansion of the salary cap, the moving of the trade deadline to week 8 has really opened this place up, has really opened up the entire NFL to the possibility of more and more trades.
Look at last year, all of the first-round picks that the Raiders accumulated.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what teams are doing as we do this season of aiming for that top pick. It's gonna take an 0-16
record. It really is going to happen. So here's the hard part. In week 16, the Bengals play the Dolphins.
Ah,
that's what we're aiming for, everybody. That's the game right there. That's the linchpin.
Does
whoever's going to be the number
0-15 one. 0-15 to 0-15 game.
God, wouldn't you just shit?
It would be real weird to watch that game because neither team would want to take that win. There would be no, like, positiveness in winning that.
Feel like they would make sure that Andy Dalton doesn't play that game.
Well,
because he'd be the only guy that's like, hey,
I got nothing else to play for.
I got nothing else to play for but my job. But Andy, you're going somewhere else. You're going to be a great backup somewhere, buddy. You're going to have a great time.
Oh, boy. If he makes it that far. All right, guys. Let's jump into it. There's some trades.
Indeed.
And we're going to talk about these trades that have occurred here this week already since the games ended. In fact, the first one that I want to bring up is Patriots, I think after walloping on the Jets Monday night, didn't go to bed. They just got on the phone to look for another weapon. And they got one from the Atlanta Falcons, Mohamed Sanu.
This is so mean for the Patriots to do. Yeah. Like, the Patriots literally just went out there and destroyed the New York Jets. And I don't mean figuratively destroyed. I mean they literally destroyed the New York Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Emotionally, these Jets were ready to come out and be relatively competitive. And the Patriots went, shut up, you stupid fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And held them under the water until they passed out.
Like their little brother.
It was fucking brutal. That was a brutal game to watch. And then they said, you know what? Next time we play you, I'm going to fuck you harder. Bring in Mohamed Sanu.
Who might just throw the ball all around the field? I don't know. He's got great stats, just like Tom Brady.
I mean, he's perfect. Like, he's a perfect New England player.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a slot wide receiver, kind of an every position wide receiver. He can play the X, he can play the Y, he can play the slot. He can be a gadget quarterback.
He'd be another, like, Edelman if they want.
Just like Jesus Christ.
Dink down the field like they like to do.
It's not fair. He's a guy that's 30 years old. You know he's hungry for a ring. So it's just not right.
Now, the rumor is they called up the Buccaneers for O.J. Howard, and O.J. and the Buccaneers said, no, we're not moving on him.
They're still treating him as kind of a foundational prospect or potential prospect.
It makes me also think that they were looking for a big tight end initially, and it doesn't seem to work out. I think this is probably them saying, that's a weapon enough for us here. We can go with what we got here. Adding Sanu, we don't need to go get another tight end from somebody. I don't think they're... Who knows? They could always surprise me.
The Patriots have needed a tight end all year. They've just kind of been making do with wide receivers. And, you know, we always talk about adding to positions of strength. Their wide receiver core is still a position of strength. Even without Antonio Brown, it's still a position of strength. Adding a guy like Mohamed Sanu makes you go, all right, there's no position we don't have a backup for.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots know, because they've done it so well for so long, that this is a league of attrition. And they are going to make sure that they win that battle every time. They're going to have guys ready to go.
Outside Brady going down, yeah, I don't see any worry of that they have there.
I mean, shit.
No, Jared Stidham is not going to go anywhere for him. I mean, the defense would have to play out of their mind the rest of the way against much better talent.
Okay.
Brady lost out.
I was going to say, they've been playing out of their fucking mind. They've also been playing garbage motherfuckers.
That's right. In fact, I think the stat is that the only team over 500 right now that they played is the Bills. But it's the Patriots. I don't doubt that they're the champions. Yeah, champions until somebody can knock them off. They also looked at Emmanuel Sanders, decided it was a little too big of a contract to take on, and went with Sanu instead. But that doesn't mean Emmanuel Sanders didn't move himself. The 49ers take him, and a fifth rounder, give the Broncos a third and fourth rounder.
Yeah, Sanu is interesting because Sanu is going to cost him not a lot of money remaining this year, but he's on the hook for 6.5
You're talking about
year.
The Patriots still with Sanu?
Yeah, I'm still talking about Sanu because I just talking about that contract a little bit with Emmanuel Sanders. So Sanu, you can get out from underneath.
Yeah.
So you trade for Mohamed Sanu, but you can get away from his contract very quickly. Emmanuel Sanders, who's been struggling with injury on and off, he can't seem to stay healthy an entire year, is probably still a more talented receiver and more of a true slot, which they need to be able to move a guy like Edelman around. But the details remaining on him, he is done completely at the end of this year, but he still costs you $6 million against the cap.
I think that's what the Patriots weren't liking. But Niners, who, like we were saying, like they're kind of doing this with not a lot of offensive weapons.
Yeah.
This is a nice one for them, and they wanted him right away. They got him for the game against Carolina this weekend. It's a big pickup for the 49ers, who are all in.
It's a great addition. The 49ers absolutely should be all in. I think it's much harder than – we always talk about the hardest – second hardest position on offense to learn is wide receiver.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be too much of a help against Carolina. Now, he's a veteran. He's still going to be able to run his packages, things that he feels comfortable with, but the timing's not going to be there for a couple weeks. His understanding of the offense isn't going to be there for a couple weeks, but Emmanuel Sanders is a smart guy. This is more for the playoffs than it is for Carolina, in my mind.
Okay. But we know, obviously, Broncos are sellers. Obviously, the Falcons are sellers. And then let's go to the defensive side of the ball with some trades. The Seahawks trade for safety Quandre Diggs from the Lions. They get Diggs and a seventh-round pick, and they give the Lions a fifth-round pick.
To me, that's not a great value for Quandre Diggs.
Yeah.
Because Diggs is still a relatively like young player. He's still 26 years old. So this is a guy you could have built around if you were sold on him. And you're basically getting back nothing.
Yeah, you get the fifth-round pick, and you're giving up. Now, the seventh-rounder's not until 2021, which is nothing, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fifth-round pick is pretty far down there for a guy that I thought was a solid starter.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I feel like if you could have gotten him for a fourth, and if you've got to give up a sixth to get a third, that maybe makes a bit more sense. But, you know, once you've decided that you don't need a guy anymore, he's gone. And teams know that. Teams know once they start kicking the tires, if your initial thing is, yeah, we'll talk, they know they've got you.
And the Seahawks added that defense, a defense that had a tough time stopping a running QB this week. So,
oh boy,
getting a guy that's got some speed back there to make some tackles, that'll be helpful. And then finally, last trade to discuss so far, because the trade deadline is not up until the end of this week. We'll see what happens. The Texans trade for cornerback Garen Conley. From the Raiders, who get a third-round draft pick for him.
Now, Garen Conley was a first-rounder a couple years ago.
Right.
Still has a lot of talent left. Does not seem tapped out at all. Seemed like he was struggling a little bit with the way the Raiders were playing. Didn't seem like he was their, you know, a number one guy. But going to the Texans to help them with the depth, Texans are making a move here, too. The Texans know they are not far away from the AFC South crown, but they were showed that they are not the front runners anymore by these Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, that's a wild thing. These are two teams that went out for these defensive players that had a bad loss this week, Seahawks and Texans. And then the Lions and the Raiders, I think they're seeing the writing on the wall. Let's get what we can from these guys because we're gonna need them for next year.
Especially for the Raiders, who've done a really good job of moving getting assets, moving those assets for more assets, and getting quality players. Josh Jacobs was fucking amazing this week.
Mm-hmm. He's had a couple of back-to-back games like that now.
Jonathan Abram, when he comes back in, will be a real thumper for them.
Yeah.
Once he heals up. And Cleveland Ferrell isn't really, like, lighting the world on fire, but he looks like a solid defensive lineman. And defensive line's really hard to learn, too.
Okay, so yeah, you hope that Ferrell can catch back up, given that he was a fourth overall pick.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, but you brought up that Texans-Colts game, which is our game of the week, so let's jump into the games. First off, the picks heading into this week, I was at 54 correct. Dan, you were right there at 51, but my mom was at 56, so we're going to try to catch up.
We got to get there.
We're going to catch up.
We'll get there.
But as we head into the game of the week, nobody picked it right. The Colts win at home against the Texans. It was 23-30.
This was a surprise to me. This was a substantial surprise.
This was the big surprise for the noon hour, I thought.
We talk a lot about how...
The noon game.
Yeah, the noon hour. that's what we'll change the name of this program to eventually. The noon hour, when we get too old to call it the push-off. We forget, and I talked about it a lot, that the Colts aren't in a really bad position with Andrew Luck going down. It's not fatal because they have Jacoby Brissett. We forgot that this defense was fucking rock solid last year. We forgot that this defense has been rock solid all year, and we forgot that this defense knows this division like the back of its fucking hand. Mm. We forget as well that the defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts is a guy named Matt Eberflus.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a fucking genius. Eberflus is a former Dallas Cowboy. We basically offered him like a co-defensive coordinator role before he left because we knew what a fucking genius he was. He is putting together a masterful defense and absolutely had Deshaun Watson's number in this game. Deshaun Watson is a rare talent. But Eberflus was all over him.
No, Watson still threw for over 300 yards. He had a touchdown, but two interceptions, and there weren't good ones either. Hopkins got going too with his touchdown, 106 yards. But then Stills, and that's a big thing too because Will Fuller V went down for this game, and he's going to miss a few weeks. So you need somebody like Stills, who was a trade at the beginning of the year, to come up big for him, and he did in this game for 105 yards. So Watson's got weapons still. Texans are going to be still a team to be dealt with in the rest of the season. But, yeah, give the Colts credit. Now, yes, they were at home. This is a division game, and they knew who they were playing. They beat them good. They take a 6-21 lead in this game. Now, the Texans bring it within five twice, but they couldn't get any closer than that. And then Brissett now has 14 touchdowns this season, one less than the leaders, which is Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, and Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he's played one less game.
The dude is legit. Yeah. We talked about how much we liked him. We said he was the best backup quarterback in the NFL.
Before Luck left, yes.
Before Luck left. Now he is a legit top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I can say that without hesitation. He's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. That's an impressive jump.
Absolutely, yeah. And you've got that now with this Colts team that could take this division, could be a team in the AFC to be reckoned with.
And take a second to think about the quarterback room that the Patriots had a couple years ago.
Yes.
The Patriots had Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett all in the same room talking about football, talking about theory, slinging that fucking rock.
They all played the same season, the Deflategate suspension Brady season. They all were in there and didn't miss a step. And
unfair.
They did fine, yep.
Just unfair. The New England Patriots are fucking unfair. I'm glad that they had to spread their riches around a little bit, but God, Jacoby Brissett looks great.
They would have been fine, but Brady, you know, he's stuck in there. Somehow they'll trade way up for the Clemson QB when he's ready to go, and that's how the Patriots will keep this going.
Oh, of course. That's absolutely the fucking way it's going
to
go.
But we're talking about the Patriots. Good job, Colts. I'm very interested to see how that AFC South plays out from here because that thing turned out on its head.
It feels like a two-horse race still. I know the Titans are in there doing some things, but this still feels like a two-horse race. It doesn't feel like Jacksonville is quite ready for prime time. It doesn't feel like the Titans are consistent enough.
Yeah.
It feels like the Colts defense teamed with a capable offense and a good running game, and this Texans team that at any point in time could put 30 points on the board and shut a team out. Texans need more consistency. the Colts need a bit more explosion, but I feel like it's these two down to the wire.
Yeah, but a great game. That's why it was game of the week. Could have gone another way, but yeah, great game to watch that one. Let's move on. Let's leave Indy and go back in time to Thursday night football in Mile High.
Woodle-doo, woodle-doo.
Chiefs beat up on the Broncos 30-6. No problems, right? Chiefs, golden. There's no gray skies on the horizon for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, no.
Because it's hard to even talk about this game after all this. And it's been, we haven't had a chance to.
My boy, they've killed my boy.
But when it happened, I just remember out loud, I'd be like, no, you can't take him away.
I know.
As somebody who watches all these games, one of the most fun things is to see what Pat Mahomes is going to do that week. And he goes down with that bad knee injury. It's like a dislocated knee.
Dislocated kneecap.
They popped back in place, I think, on that field.
Yep.
Or at least attempted to.
Yeah, they tried. You can do it. It's just, you know, that's going to suck for a while. Surprised it wasn't worse.
Thank God it wasn't.
Glad it wasn't worse.
Very glad it wasn't worse.
Right when he went out, he was already 10 for 11 with 76 passing yards and a touchdown.
And
he was in the red zone.
Yes. No, they were about to score again. In fact, it was a fourth down play and a QB sneak. And what makes it all the more heartbreaking is when Matt Moore came in on the new first down that Pat Mahomes got him by taking that leg injury, they couldn't capitalize and they still kicked that field goal, which makes that whole fourth down go for it moot. It just makes it not worth it.
Yeah.
Didn't need to do it.
There is a phrase that sums this up perfectly. It is a Pyrrhic victory, which basically means you spent so much energy to win that you really lost. I think he's not going to necessarily be on bubble wrap for the rest of the year, but I think Andy Reid is going to find a way to get on the field and make him slide if he doesn't slide in the future. Mahomes is the franchise.
What they're saying about 3 to 4 weeks out for him?
So if the Chiefs can keep up this pace with the Chargers slipping the way they are, with the Raiders not exactly finding a firm foothold, I think you let him go as long as you can. Because a healthy Pat Mahomes is more valuable to you in the playoffs than even a first-round bye.
Sure, that's absolutely true.
I can see him missing up to 6 weeks.
Oof. I hope it's not that long for the NFL, for us as fans of Pat Mahomes.
But I'll tell you, Matt Moore...
Matt Moore's a fine. He's a capable backup that has logged plenty of hours. And I was in Miami
as a starting quarterback. Too.
Yeah, but I don't think any Chiefs fan is a 30-6 win hasn't felt ever this bad.
No, this was the worst 30-6 win a Chief has ever suffered.
And the Chiefs D, give them all credit, 9 sacks in this game. Now, yes, Joe Flacco has no offensive line, and he stands there like a statue.
I got 2 sacks in this game.
Dan ran on the field there. He was the one guy not in red pants.
Oh, no, I was wearing red pants.
Where'd you get red pants?
I have them in my closet. They're not really pants, per se, more of like Daisy Dukes, but I think they framed my butt well.
It must have been cold there, then the rest of your legs went red too. But anyways, so yeah, not a good win for the Chiefs, but a win nonetheless as they keep going. But you look at like power rankings, which, you know, don't mean much in the NFL. It's not college football, but the Chiefs dropped down. They dropped down in power rankings because of this win.
Yeah. You have to. The funny thing to me is that they did not make the move. To take Joe Flacco out of this game. He looked so fucking ineffective.
Is it that Drew Lock is hurt? He must be hurt, right?
It doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't fucking matter. You play the third string, motherfucker.
Yeah.
If Drew Lock is hurt, I don't give a shit. Get Joe Flacco the fuck out of there. You are basically saying, and he basically did this to his own running back. He threw his own running back, Philip Lindsay, into traffic during a blowout. Because he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because he's an asshole and he's a bad teammate. And Philip Lindsay lambasted the guy. Now, didn't take it to the media, but on the field was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Throwing me into traffic when we're down by 24 points in the fourth quarter? Suck my dick, Joe. He has lost the team completely. When you lose the team, you got to get out. You got to make room for the new guy.
No, yeah. This Broncos team fell apart quickly in this season. And even when they go on that 2-game win streak, it seems pretty hollow now. They're not going anywhere, and they've got to blow this up and figure stuff out. And John Elway's not going anywhere because I don't think the ownership knows what they're doing, given that it's messed up in a bunch of stuff with family right now. whatever, Denver. But hey, you get the Colts this coming week for week 8. It's Denver Broncos and Indy. What are we thinking?
I think the Denver Broncos do not stand a fucking chance.
Oh, God. Although it's a better D.
It's a much better defense. I will
and
say
on the
this.
Road.
You know who's looked fantastic despite having a statue throw to him?
Mm.
Cortland Sutton.
Oh, sure.
This is it. We bring it up all the time because I do think we are the best scouting podcast around.
Oh, I mean, I don't listen to any others for that reason.
Because we were one of the only ones that was like, Cortland Sutton is legit. Cortland Sutton is fucking fantastic. We gave him a first-round grade here on the program, and he is earning it every week. The guy makes fantastic catches.
I still love there was his rookie year last year in a losing effort, and a turnover happens, and the player, I don't even remember who they're playing, but they're racing down the field, and Cortland Sutton chases him down and tackles him so they don't get a touchdown, a meaningless touchdown. But that was the guy's drive.
What's in your heart?
Yeah.
What's in your heart, man?
Denver can build around him and Lindsey and that rushing game. They can build around that. They just need a whole new offensive line.
Yeah.
A quarterback that won't just stand there, and they need to get their defense healthy again.
There comes a point where the only reason I can think they wouldn't be starting Drew Lock is they need to be eliminated from the playoffs. Okay. So that Drew Lock can just be like, there's no stakes.
Yeah, no
just
pressure.
Just go out there, feel the heat. Some like it hot, some sweat when the heat is on. Some feel desire and decide that they can't go on.
Ah.
Yeah, Robert Palmer. He's a great poet. When you have a young quarterback, you kind of need to create those situations for him. That's the only thing I can think, is that they're like, we are not necessarily completely out of it in the AFC West. We need to be completely out of it in the AFC West so you can come in and just go full playground. You know, that's the only thing I can think is holding Drew Lock from being the future quarterback of these Denver Broncos. And you got to fucking find out. The Denver Broncos aren't bad enough to be a top 5 pick. So you've got to find out what this second round pick is worth to you.
Yeah.
Because you might get a shot at a top 5 or a top 7 pick and maybe want to take another look at a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's going to be some options down there for him, obviously. So yeah, what is you have in lock? We'll probably see sooner than later.
You have to.
Colts this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah, Colts.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm with you, too, on the Colts. Yeah. All right, let's go.
We've been sucking Jacoby Brissett and the Colts defense dick all day, and then it's like, what do you think of the shit-ass Broncos? I think they're going to shit-ass lose.
I think they'll be just even better off, here than what it was last week. So let's leave then and head to Lambeau Field, where the Packers beat up on the hapless Raiders, 24-42. Rodgers, I mean, offensive player of the week for this.
Oh, this
429 yards and 5 touchdowns. Oh, amazing. And ran one in.
Amazing.
6 total for him.
This was the most disgusting Aaron Rodgers I've seen in years.
Yeah, not since MVP Aaron Rodgers times.
Filthy. Pure filth.
Yeah.
Pure disgusting
and
filth.
And he's been doing this a lot this year, which is scary.
My daughter was watching this. I made her turn away.
Yeah, how dare he do that when young...
With children?
Young
with
children wanted.
Present?
No, this was a tight game.
The final score doesn't tell the story of this game.
No.
The story of this game is how the fuck you do that twice. How the fuck you do that twice, Derek?
Derek Carr running to that sidelines. Yeah, because it happened that Cowboys game last year.
It was the reason we beat him.
Yeah. He reaches out, and he's got small hands. We know that, too.
Smells like cabbage.
He can't get it to the pylon, so he just drops it. No one touched him again.
Nope.
Just dropped it, goes into the end zone, and that is a touchback. And I don't care what you think of that rule anymore. Derek Carr has a problem holding onto that football around there, so he's got to stop doing that.
Or put two fucking hands on the ball, reach out.
Yeah.
Or, even better, great run, just slide.
It wasn't a fourth and goal. It wasn't even a third and goal.
Yeah.
He can't do that. But because he does, and because the Raiders' defense is a little banged up and still kind of weak in terms of talent, Rodgers just picked it apart again right down the field. So it was like 14-14 at that moment. Everyone was given and taken. Then, boom, Rodgers, another touchdown. And then, just in time for halftime. And then we're going to get the ball back. Boom, double dip. And at that point, you can't catch the Packers because it was 10-14 when Carr fumbled there. So they get in that end zone, they take the lead.
Yeah.
The Raiders would take the lead. Instead, basically the next time the Raiders have a chance to start moving the ball on offense, it's 10-28. Blink.
This was brutal for them because it was a legit 14-point swing.
Yeah.
You have a chance to get 7, you lose it, they get 7 on you. I could even say that it's a 21-point swing.
It almost was with that double dip, yeah.
That double dip, just... And I actually think, because we talk about how the double dip is a great idea.
You defer. You always defer.
I actually think the Raiders did the right thing in not deferring.
The Raiders won this coin toss?
The Raiders won the coin toss and
the
decided...
Eagles did it on Sunday night, too.
The Raiders won the coin toss and decided to take the ball because these Raiders are the closest we have to a ball control offense in the league right now.
Okay.
They needed to come out. They have the fewest possessions in all of football, which means their offense is... It's not that their offense is on the field the least amount in football. It means that they run the most plays per possession of any team in the NFL.
Oh.
So they're guys that are kind of dinking and dunking and slowly working down the field. You need to be able to set that tone early in the game when you've got a script and you can play off that script and really get a full breath of what the defense is capable of.
Okay.
I thought it was smart. They played this game very well until that car mistake, and then things really unraveled for them. They kept their composure as best you can, and they stayed in this game and tried to make it competitive. But by that point, Aaron Rodgers had turned into God mode.
Yeah. He doesn't have Adams for another week, but doesn't he's finding whoever. Valdez Scantling had 133 yards and one touchdown on two catches.
There was a fucking beautiful catch by Valdez Scantling.
Lazaro, whoever, had a couple of great catches and a touchdown in this game that you're like, oh, all right, even that guy. So... Here's the thing.
Everybody's available.
Even the second half, it was a give-and-take touchdown thing. The Raiders could move down there and get touchdowns on this Packers defense. But because they were down already 10-28, it almost was like you can't catch up because your defense couldn't stop Rodgers, who had time to write a book and then look up and throw to a third-string wide receiver. And
he was
that's
throwing to motherfuckers named
Aaron Rodgers, the Shining Three.
Kumaro. Kumaro and Lazard.
Yes.
These are motherfuckers that he's throwing to. Kumaro and Lazard. Vitaly, Kumaro, Lazard. This all-star cast of scrub motherfuckers. And he's making them look fucking gold.
Because you give Aaron Rodgers time and good luck. Good luck. So Raiders couldn't do it. They go on to play the Texans in Houston in a game the Texans needed. Oh, and this trade happened too. So Conley just, you know, I was heading to Houston anyways this week, but I'll play for the better team.
I wonder if Mark Davis is so cheap that he's like, I'm not going to pay for your flight.
No,
you can just come with
us. Just get on the team.
Just get on the team plane.
You won't have any time to learn the the playbook, but that's to our benefit too.
He's like, you can either get a fucking U-Haul and you pay for that out of pocket, or you can come with us. That's your choice.
I'll chip in for your haircut. You're getting one of these.
You get one of these bad boys. Sorry, by chip in for the haircut, I mean I'll give you this pasta bowl and some shears.
So, yeah, Raiders at Texans, and the Texans need it, and the Texans are at home. I like the Texans here.
I like the Texans. I also like the spunkiness of this Oakland Raiders team. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're a 3-3 team, but I feel like they're a 3-3 team on the rise.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, they have a point of where they're going now, whereas last year when we were seeing the sell-off of people like Khalil Mack, you're like, okay, Raiders, I don't know what you're doing, and a 10-year contract to Gruden doesn't make any sense, but now it's starting to. When you see what they've built with their young players, they're going to get better. It's just in time to move to Vegas, build a fan base in a place that's never had a team that might have just as much trouble as the LA teams have been having on getting a team fan base there, because it's a lot of people living, you know, who's people that live in Vegas?
The difference, there's a lot. Actually, the city of Henderson was one of the fastest growing cities in the United States for over 30 years.
Okay.
That's right. Little
outside
Vegas factoids you weren't expecting.
I wasn't.
I got family out there. I dated a girl from there. It was terrible. The Vegas franchise, I think, will be much better and a much easier transition than the LA one, because everybody in Vegas is already drunk. whereas no one's allowed to drink in LA. They all have to drink fucking kombucha. That's as fermented as they can get.
There's just not enough alcohol in those.
And everybody's just doing crunches. They ain't got time to sit there and take in beer and cheese at an alarming rate. But that's what Vegas is about. Intake calories, intake sin. And that's what the NFL is about too. I think this is a much more logical progression for them than in LA. I do think that this Raiders team will not have a winning record this year, but will have a winning record next year.
Yeah, you know, I would get behind that. And we're saying Texans next week.
I think so. I can't lose faith in Deshaun Watson after I gave him all that publicity and all that pub last week. But yeah, I think he's ready to get back on track.
And speaking of taking in beer and cheese, Sunday Night Football is the Packers at the Chiefs, whereas the Packers fans would love to take all that in, but Andy Reid got to it first. Who do you like in this one with Matt Moore starting?
I like these lucky duck fucking Packers.
Yeah.
That's really how this feels. I hate to say it, but I feel like the Packers are going to wind up winning this game. Mahomes is in here and healthy. I feel like it's a very different situation. I'm probably taking the Chiefs. But with Matt Moore against this very good Green Bay Packers defense and Aaron Rodgers against the middling Kansas City defense, I feel like it's Packers all the way.
Gosh, thinking about it, you know, who knows how many more years Aaron Rodgers has?
Hopefully and this none. Is a-
oh, yeah, I'm 100% behind that. No, this is AFC versus NFC. Will we get to see a Mahomes versus Rodgers game? Like, is that going to line up for us? And we don't get it this year. And that's really disappointing.
It's really
as an
all
NFL
I want.
Fan. That matchup alone would be pretty darn cool to watch. Packers at Chiefs. Who's going to do it? Now, I don't think it's going to be a pushover in Kansas City with that team. The Packers might get a run for their money here. But yeah, without Mahomes and as good as Rodgers is playing right now, he's playing lights out. I like the Packers to take it here too, just because of what seems to happen here. But Sunday Night Football, I mean, let's go, Chiefs. Let's just prove something. Come on, Matt Moore. Show up, please.
I think Matt Moore will show up. I feel like this is the stat line for Matt Moore. One touchdown, one interception, 220 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he'll spread the ball around. I feel like he'll maybe throw it 30 times. You're going to get a lot more out of Damian Williams, a lot more out of LeSean McCoy. But it's just not going to be enough.
Packers opened here, I think, the spread like already up 4 points on the road.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's rough, but it's fair. I guess so. All right, let's talk
about... We're setting those lines, man.
Yeah, let's talk about the NFC North matchup where the Vikings went to Detroit and beat them 42, Lions 30. We both took the Vikings on the road here.
What a great first half.
Oh, yeah. Fun. It was a fun game all the way through. Another divisional matchup, like we talked about that Texans and Colts one. This was 1B of the games of the week this week.
Real quality one.
It was a back-and-forth one of two strong quarterback performances.
Oh,
Kirk Cousins, 337 yards, and his second game in a row, throwing four touchdowns. Didn't throw any interception off of anyone's face mask this game. And then
that interception totally wasn't his fault.
No, which, yeah, right, you're saying wasn't his fault. Stafford threw for 364 yards, four touchdowns, and had one interception to finally ice that game at the end.
Just quarterbacks dealing in this game.
Absolutely.
All the defenses were getting an absolute fucking drubbing.
I'm watching this. The Lions go down the field on us pretty easily and get the first touchdown, but you're like, well, that's scripted stuff. That stuff happens. I'm not going to sweat it. We got the Vikings here. And thankfully, the play-action game was on point because you could see that the Lions did not want to get run over by Dalvin Cook to begin this game.
No.
And they were stacking that line for that reason. And so these bootlegs and that first touchdown to Thielen was awesome. And then you see, Thielen got hurt. Oh, hamstring, that's not good. Now you can just double up Diggs, and who do we throw the ball to? Very impressed with where the Vikings' offense went in this game, finding the rookies. Ola B.C. Johnson.
It was a fucking great name.
Yeah, B.C. Johnson, short for, it just go by B.C. now. Irv Smith Jr. had his best game of his short career there as the second tight end. And then even Alexander Mattison, our running back.
Kyle Rudolph got involved?
Kyle Rudolph got a touchdown, but our running back smartly jumps on a fumble that Diggs had on our side of the field when everybody was back and forth trading touchdowns in that first half. Could have really turned that game around for the Lions if it didn't happen that the rookie running back was just right there.
Presence of mind, buddy.
So back and forth, Stafford was only throwing touchdowns to Marvin Jones. Now, I should have seen it coming. We talk how great Galladay is and how he's the number one guy and stuff now. But when we play the Lions, it's usually Marvin Jones that tears us up.
Marvin Jones is a nasty man. We do not give him enough credit. We don't give the Detroit Lions wide receiver core enough credit for being as good as they are. But that's probably because they're 2-3-1.
Right, right. They've got talent there, though. I mean, four touchdowns is a franchise record that Calvin Johnson never did. For
True.
Them. So that's something for them to hang on to.
Maybe he will also retire early in shame.
You know, let's hope not. But that's a Lions way. They lost a weapon, too, in Kerryon Johnson early in this game.
That's huge for them.
And he goes on IR. He could be out for the season. We'll see if he makes his way back onto this team. But the way things are going now, you might just be better to give the young guy some rest. But both offenses losing solid weapons and not letting that affect them. That was really impressive.
The Lions are already 3 games back, or basically 3.5 games back in the division, and they're in third place in the division.
It's got to be the toughest division in the NFL right now.
It's really hard. It's really difficult. But you've also got to think, if you are the Detroit Lions, we got to retool this thing. It's actually kind of a benefit that Kerryon Johnson's going to be out, because maybe he'll come back healthy next year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of that, you'll lose a couple more games, get a slightly better draft pick. Your wide receivers are locked up for a good amount of time. You'll get some help on the offensive line or another defensive playmaker, and TJ Hockenson can come back and be more consistent.
They've definitely taken a step up from Patricia's first year. You've seen that already in the half of the season we've done so far.
Not worried about the culture there in Detroit anymore.
No. One thing I do want to say, though, is as big as we were on Hockenson coming out of the league here, which rookie tight end had a better game? Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah, sure. All right. It's a microcosm.
Straight up in this game.
We didn't hate Irv Smith Jr. either, you know?
No. And even, too, I think it was more in terms of just great play calling. Great play calling by the Vikings offense. Now, their defense gave me reasons to sweat in this one. They didn't get at Stafford too much, just 2 sacks, and they just gave up too much to the air.
But they only gave up 9 points in the second half.
That's true. That's a transition. That's Zimmer working a fix at halftime, and the defense tightening up there, getting the turnover and stuff to ice it finally. But it was a tight one all the way through. The 42-30 isn't quite what the game felt like.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. It was much closer than that. But big win for the Vikings to go 5-2, and I'm feeling great.
Got to have it.
I feel great. All right, keep moving on. We'll go to New York. Talk about the Giants game. Yes, not the Jets game. Don't worry.
Guys, don't worry. We're not going to talk about the Jets game.
This one, whole lot more fun than I thought it could have been. Cardinals 27, Giants 21. These Cardinals on a 3-game win streak.
If it wasn't for the fact that I have no faith whatsoever in the Arizona Cardinals to maintain this, or faith that the New York Giants are going to be anything other than a fucking punching bag, this would have been in the running for game of the week, because it was fun as shit.
Yeah, very fun game. Surprisingly enough, with David Johnson going out in this one, it was Edmonds blowing up for...
That shocked the shit out of me.
150 total yards and 3 touchdowns.
That's phenomenal. To be able to do something like that on a guy that, you have no film on this fucking guy. You don't know how he moves. You don't know how he hits the hole. That's a weirdly distinct advantage for the Cardinals in that state.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing, is that the Cardinals, or the Giants defense, especially rush defense, is that bad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you'd have no idea what you're facing them. And he's like, I'm going to run all over again.
Using tempo and pace a lot better in this game too. I thought, I'm starting to feel like maybe the Cardinals are getting a hang of this thing offensively.
Yeah, and Murray himself has seen a slowdown here. And this game alone, he kind of took the pressure off himself to make every play.
Mm-hmm.
That running game becomes a big help for him. The Cardinals' defense came up big here with 8 sacks. Chandler Jones himself had 4 with a fumble strip and recovery.
We talked about the fact that these Giants were having an improved offensive line.
Mm.
I don't necessarily agree with myself.
I don't know that anymore.
I don't feel like I was right. I feel like there's talent here on the offensive line, but I just feel like maybe they're not making the right calls. Maybe their center situation just is undesirable. Yeah, God, they just look kind of fucking lost.
Yeah, Daniel Jones had 2 fumbles for that reason.
He's got to learn to hold on to the ball. That boy fumbles far too much.
Yeah, well, and I think... With a better offensive line, that certainly helped. But this game went 17-0 Cardinals fast. And give it up for the Giants. A punt block gets them back into this one. It's 17-14. It's a whole nother ball game. In fact, the Giants get the ball back down 3 points, 24-21. And then for whatever reason, they're like a 3rd and 18, and they hand the ball off. Now, I know it's Saquon Barkley, and I know he's probably your best weapon out there. But on 3rd and 18, when you have to convert to keep your chances to win the game,
it's a surrender.
You have to at least get half of that, and you're not going to get that on the ground, not even with a delay.
No, it's a surrender. They did that against the Patriots, too, in the second half of the game. They just punted.
Yeah.
When it's like, you could press the advantage, like, give it a fucking shot. Try to be a giant killer.
You're either going to lose or you're going to lose. Like,
yeah.
Or miraculously win. Yeah, no one's expecting you to pull this out, but because it's such a far down and and yardage difference. Yeah.
You had to take a shot, and it feels like when you give it to Saquon, you're getting too cute. You're like, I wonder how many yards Saquon will get us back. Probably not more than 10.
Yeah, he got 3 or 4, and then it's 4th and 12, and they can pin it back, and so Jones gets a second fumble there.
There are no plays called for 12 yards. Hmm. There are no 12-yard plays.
Right.
There are 10-yard plays, and there are 4-yard plays, and there are 8-yard plays. But there are no 12-yard plays. So if you know that this play is going to lead you into a 12-yard play, fuck you, you idiot. You got to go deep. You got to try to get more of that back. And you got to put it on Daniel Jones. You just got to find out. I mean, he didn't have a... I mean, he had a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bad game. His production was there, but he still looks like he's not seeing ghosts, but he's not exactly seeing the openings.
Also, I would even say, like, I'd give him benefit of the doubt and say he had a rookie game. That's what you. Yeah. That's what you're going to expect from him. You're going to have more bad games than good games in your rookie year as a quarterback.
Because Murray wasn't fantastic in this game. He was about 60% passing, but he only had 104 yards.
Right.
He ran for less than 30. This was not a Kyler Murray-esque game. Really, really lucky with Edmonds.
Yeah. So the Cardinals, with their injuries to the running back, they signed Alfred Morris this week. So we'll see if he gets some carries in there.
He's always worth 10 carries for 30 yards.
Yeah. It's a little scary with David Johnson's ankle. But, yeah, like we were saying, okay, great. Cardinals are now, 3-2-1? I don't expect them to keep this going. So enjoy it while you have it, Cardinals. Enjoy.
It's like, honestly, if you're the Cardinals, are you going to take a shot at the Rams? Are you going to take a shot at the Seahawks? Are you
going
to take a shot at the Niners?
And I see where you're going.
Oh, man, just stop. Don't do this to yourself. Just enjoy the sunny Arizona winter.
So this leads us to talking about a game for next week. The New York Giants head to Detroit. They're playing the Lions.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to lose. These Lions are good.
Yeah.
The Lions are good. The Lions are a competitive team, and their record is worse than their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to them beating the Giants soundly.
Even with Diggs traded away, the Lions still have strong enough everywhere, and you watch the Giants in the last few games just haven't been able to put up a fighting effort.
They're not great.
They're 2-5, and if you think about it, if the Buccaneers didn't miss a gimme field goal at the end of the game, they'd be 1-6.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, 2-4, 1-5, whatever they are.
They'd be 1-6.
Ugh. So, yeah, I don't think the Giants are a bottom team again. That's what we're looking at. It's just...
And that's fine.
Who gets the bottom in that NFC East? The Giants or the Redskins? They're really both racing for it.
It's a spirited journey.
I like the Lions here as well. All right, good place for a little break. And as we take this break, we will return, do the two-minute no offense, hit all the rest of those games. I don't think there's much else you want to talk about, though, in the games, right, Dan?
No, nothing I can think of. No, nothing great, nothing... Nothing that turned me on so fucking hard. I'm sorry. Are we going to break?
Yeah, we're going to go to break. We're going to break before you get that out of there. This is the push off. We'll be right back. Burning you off, ready or not. Some like it hot and some sweat when the heat is on. Some feel the heat and decide that they can't go on. But you can't tell how hot till you try. We have returned from our break, which means it's time for that push-off podcast, 2 minute. No offense.
Because no offense, but if you find yourself in this position on our show, it means you were seeing spooky ghosts and you had a shit game or you're a shit team.
What's that over there? Oh, no. Yeah, let's get through these as quick as we possibly can.
Oh, let's do it in 2 minutes, and ready, but go!
All right, we're going to start with the rain game. Niners, 9. Redskins, nothing.
What a real piece of shit. But nobody wanted to participate in this game. This was just fun for defense.
Yeah, it was nothing at the half. Look up the photos online. Oh, they're fun to look at.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever played in a rain game, those are a blast to play in. But yeah, if you want to see good talent, it's not in there.
No.
The 49ers are 6-0 for the first time since 1990.
Which is amazing. God, they're a really good team. And God, the fucking Redskins are just atrocious. Their field's terrible. Their team's terrible. Get out of here.
The first points in this game was that first Niners field goal with 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the third.
Ugh.
Hard to watch that one. All right, next one is the Rams beating up on the Falcons in their nice new stadium. 37-10, which I picked.
Yeah, I went out on a limb, and Dan Quinn decided to hack that off and hopefully ends his own career there pretty soon. For some reason, Arthur Blank's like, no, Dan Quinn's still my man. Unfuck yourself, Arthur. Come on, dude, just let him go. He's flapping in the wind.
Yeah, end of the season, but it's on its way.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
Rams D, 5 sacks in this game. Fowler, 3 himself. Matt Ryan left with a bad leg injury.
Yeah, is this the end of Matt Ryan in Atlanta?
He was out for most of that fourth, and Freeman gets ejected for throwing a punch into Aaron Donald's face, not Darnold's face. Darnold's face.
We'll talk about Darnold's face here pretty soon. Yeah. But, Aaron Donald picked him up like a bitch and threw him around, and he did not enjoy that.
Mm-mm. All right, and then finally, yes, Darnold and his 0 scores and 4 interceptions. Patriots won 33-0 on Monday night.
This was a worse beating than 33-0.
Oh, yeah. It
could have been worse. The Patriots did the rare Patriots thing and actually took their fucking foot off the gas. This could have been a 60-point win easily.
24-0 at halftime. If you kept watching the game in the second half, you're either a Patriots fan or you like watching people just get their asses handed.
Yeah,
if
you're a sadist, if you're like really into being a dom and BDSM and you're just like, oh yeah, fuck yeah.
Put on the Monday night game.
Yeah, throw it on, man. Play it on loop.
The Patriots, this is their second shutout while scoring over 30 points in the same season. The last team to do this was the 1942 Chicago Bears.
They were really good in 42.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was past before my time.
Not before mine.
Of course, Sam Darnold seeing ghosts.
Oh, God, that's so good. You know, we talked about it a little bit. Adam Gase is mad that that got out.
Yeah.
But when you know you're mic'd up, you're mic'd up. When you know it, don't say shit like, I'm seeing ghosts out there. Don't sound like you're a PTSD-having veteran. Jesus, man.
I mean, it's not a surprise when he's thrown 4 interceptions that it's like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm having an off game and things aren't going right and I'm getting tricked into things. And I think that's what he meant, you know. He's not seeing boo scary ghosts out there.
I think he was seeing boo scary ghosts. I feel like Bill Belichick was just like, boo, I'm in your head. I feel like Bill Belichick probably jacked his helmet feed and was just giving him bad information the whole time. That's the only way you can play this badly.
Finally, him smirking there in the fourth quarter by doing the on-purpose penalties that were getting declined that he was just running the clock out on. That's Belichick.
That's the only way. I think that's the only reason he actually let up is because he wanted to see what would happen if he exploited that little quirk in the rule.
Yeah.
And once he saw that it worked, he got a little smile out of Belichick.
Yeah, he's like, oh, look at what I can do.
We talked about this game way too long for the piece of shit it was.
You're right. Let's talk about some games for next week. This is going to be a good one. The Carolina Panthers are going to San Francisco play those Niners.
I can't take anybody but the Niners right now.
Right.
Especially Carolina on the road. Kyle Allen looks really good, but Jimmy Garoppolo looks better.
Now, Christian McCaffrey should be in there again, and he is a game changer. But Kyle Shanahan used to babysit him, so maybe he knows what's going on. That is a true fact there.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That those families, yeah. That Kyle Shanahan's like, you know, I grew up, Ed McCaffrey is a reason why I played, and I loved that him and that family, so I watched his little boy. Now his little boy's going to try to beat the crap out of my team.
His little boy is a golden god and a potential MVP.
Ah, he's amazing. Another game is our one-up for Thursday. The Thursday night football game starting is the Washington R-Words coming to Minnesota to play the Vikings.
You cannot lose this game, Scott.
Don't say it like this game.
No, you personally cannot lose this game. You can't afford it emotionally.
We got Adrian Peterson coming back if he's not out of his walking boot, which he's got an injury to. And Case Keenum, where is the last pass he threw in that stadium? Minneapolis Miracle.
I mean, you got to be real happy if they're there. They're probably not going to buy drinks this week, but they're probably going to show up to that game pretty fucking drunk, too.
I want them to just be happy to see their old friends, give some nice hugs, and then be like, we'll give this one to you.
Yeah, please.
By the second quarter.
I think this one will be over sooner than that. Your defense is still really good, and this is also a Kirk Cousins fuck you game, too.
Yes.
So Kirk Cousins wants to stick to these Redskins. I'm sure he's thrilled that he's not a Washington Redskin anymore.
Hey, just no one tell him it's in prime time, and we'll take care of
business. It's
all right.
They don't have a winning record.
Ugh. All right. And then finally, the Cleveland Browns are going to New England. They're playing the Patriots.
God, good thing the Cleveland Browns got off this bye week to get throat fucked.
You know, they got plenty of time to get planning up for those Patriots.
Yeah, I hope they spend a lot of time drinking hot herbal tea and lozenges for the throat fucking they're about to get.
They asked Bill Belichick about the Browns in the press conference, and he's like, "Well, you know, they already got a day of practice, and so they're ahead of us, so we got to catch up." Brian, Bill, no golden. Days off.
I love it. Just he's the best. No Bill Belichick off. Is the best coach of all time.
So yeah, I think we're both taking Niners, both taking Vikings, both taking Patriots. The home teams down the list here. I don't think we've been opposite on a pick yet.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Maybe we'll come to one.
We'll see how we go. All right, let's get in some games we want to talk about. I'd like to talk about the game that happened in Tennessee. Yes, I'd like to talk about a Titans game this week.
Strange.
The LA Chargers losing to the Titans 20-23, which both of us took the Chargers thinking they could maybe get right against a Titans team led by Ryan Tannehill. It wasn't going to happen.
The Chargers, to me, are like that guy you know that is like, I'm going to learn how to suck my own dick. And then he succeeds, but in doing so, breaks his own neck. This team is always a team that has their eyes on an achievable prize.
Mm-hmm.
They really work hard, and they want to do this thing, and we've built the team the right way, and our defense is good, and our quarterbacks are good, and we've added wide receivers, and we're talented, and then they break their own neck, sucking their own dick.
Yeah.
This team is a joke.
And we've talked about it seems to be a running thing with the Chargers that, oh, they have a chance. They're racing back at the end. They just keep coming up short. They don't know how to win these games. That's the Chargers team we're seeing this year. Whereas last year they were finding ways. This year, no. Rivers still threw for over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. Eckler was the guy. Dan, I would have beaten you in fantasy if I just kept Eckler in there.
But good thing you did.
with his touchdown, but... And then Ryan Tannehill seemed like the right choice, at least in this game, to start. 312 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He at least seemed to have a better game than what Mariota was putting out there.
He seemed like he had, honestly, a better grasp of the offense.
Yeah, which is weird, right? Because Mariota's been there.
Yeah, but this is a Titans team that at 3-4 doesn't feel like they're out of it, even though I do.
Mm.
They're going to take a shot, and this Chargers team at 2-5 feels lost.
They have lost all those games by one score.
You are in a position where the Chiefs are about to be without Patrick Mahomes for at least a month.
Yeah.
This was the time you could set it up to make a run. Instead, the Raiders have a better record than you.
You had in position to at least tie that game at the end. You go up to the goal line. Touchdown. No, we're going to review it. Bring it back. I think it was Eckler initially. Then Gordon. Touchdown. No, we're going to review it. All right, bring it back. Then they give it to Gordon again. They have no timeouts. It's down to like 12 or 13 seconds or whatever, and they're running the ball still at the goal line where, yes, if you don't get it in, you just line up again real quick and you can spike it on third and then maybe line up for the field goal on fourth or fucking throw a pass in the end zone. But he fumbles on the goal line, Titans ball, and you don't even get a chance to tie this one, take it to overtime.
This was interesting because you play to your strength, or you should. The Chargers had less than 2 yards per carry this whole game.
Yeah, they couldn't run it.
What makes you think that when the defense that you haven't been able to run on all day tightens up and, sorry, excuse the pun, tightens up and goes, you're not running through this fucking gap. What makes you think after a 2 yard per carry day that you're finally going to figure it out here in the fourth quarter? Get some motion, spread them out. They struggled with you against the pass. Phillip Rivers had over 300 yards passing. Get fucking motion.
Yeah.
Don't run it through the teeth of the defense.
No, it didn't look like they had a plan to win this game. Maybe they didn't want to. I don't know. They also lost Forrest Lamp with a broken ankle. He's done for the year. That's a guy that just so far hasn't been healthy too much.
I love Lamp. I love Lamp.
We love Lamp.
We all love Lamp. It's a bummer.
Ugh. All right, but the Titans, who win this one, stay home and they get the Buccaneers coming to town this week. What do you think of this game?
This is hilarious because... Mariota probably won't start.
I doubt it.
And Jameis Winston will probably get pulled. So this will be the, oh my God, we fucked that draft up so hard ball.
Yeah. But if you had to pick a winner, because that's what I'm asking here, I don't know right now.
They both lose by simply existing in this thing. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans because I think the Titans are after this game, that run defense is really impressive. They held the Chargers to less than 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they are set up to be the team to beat. Now, the Buccaneers are coming off a bye week, so maybe they're more ready, but I feel like Tennessee's actually more talented.
Yeah, Tennessee at home after this big win feels pretty good for them, and I'm sure that. But I do think it's a coin flip of a game, especially since Tampa's coming off a bye, and they can put up a lot of points. And sometimes Tennessee has a hard time catching up to a team that can do that. So because we don't have anything different yet, I'm going to go out of the way. I'll take the Buccaneers here.
Wait, are you going to be...
Fire the cannons, Dan!
There you go.
There we go. All right, let's go to Chicago.
Do we have to?
Let's talk about the America's game. I think we're both going to enjoy this a little bit. The end score was 36-28, but forget about that.
Yeah. Don't let anybody sell you that bill of goods.
I have never seen so much garbage yards and points put up in my life than in this game here. But instead, a Saints team, sans Drew Brees, we knew. Sans the best running back in the league.
Alvin Kamara.
Maybe not the best, but one of the best. Alvin Kamara.
Top five. Minimum top five.
And Jared Cook, their tight end, that's still a weapon too. All those guys out. When I heard Kamara was out, I was like, ooh, maybe I should change my pick to the Bears here. I really thought about that, but I was like, all right, I already took the Saints. I'm going to take the Saints. I've told my brother before the games. So I was like, yeah, I stuck with the Saints. He's like, well, Kamara and everything. I was like, I know, but I figured since I did it on the show, I was going to just do it anyways.
Got to stick with it.
Thank God I did, because the Bears were never in this game. Early on, it was Saints moving the ball down there, and they had to settle for some field goals, but then Bridgewater was throwing touchdowns. He got two in. Latavius Murray just running it down their throats for 150 total yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. And Thomas is always open. The only thing the Bears did before the garbage stuff was the Cordarrelle Patterson kickoff return. So I'm watching Teddy Bridgewater throw two touchdowns, Latavius Murray running great, and Cordarrelle Patterson going turn. I'm like, hey, I remember this team. Yeah. They weren't too bad back then.
they were a lot of fun
when
to
they
watch.
Were in purple. I really enjoyed watching them succeed, so that was kind of fun to see that again.
This final score of this game, in my heart, is 36-10.
Yes, the game was 12-10 at the half, and then 36-10 when the Bears started. First of all, hey, they got onside kick.
Two of them.
Yeah, they got onside kicks, so give them that credit because that's something that's not supposed to happen. And then, unfortunately, we get to see an onside kick actually get recovered in a game that don't mean shit at that point. But and then in total, the Bears ran the ball seven times. Seven.
The Bears were absolutely decimated. Mm. You remember when the Eagles were like, we're going to make Kirk Cousins throw the ball, and then Kirk Cousins came out, answered the bell, and threw the thing all over the fucking field?
Do I remember? I still wake up
and wet.
Yes.
wet from fantasy. The Bears have equally been challenged, where people are like, we're going to make Mitch Trubisky beat us. Mm. And instead, Mitch Trubisky proceeds to fucking embarrass himself. He threw the ball 54 times. Am I stealing your crazy stat?
No.
He threw the ball 54 times, which is actually an incredibly low fucking number. His completion percentage was still a little over 60%.
Can I put that one?
Yeah, I sent this text to you a little bit ago.
Yeah, give me that one.
Mitch Trubisky, God, first off, is so fucking terrible, and I've been talking about it for so long, it's just pathetic. Mitch Trubisky averaged fewer yards per attempt than Dalvin Cook did for rushing. Dalvin Cook averaged 1.1 more yards per rushing attempt than Trubisky did on passing attempts.
Yeah.
That's how much worse this Bears team is with Mitch Trubisky at the helm. They looked fucking inept. He missed wide open fucking dudes. It was a tragedy of an offensive performance.
Last week, I'll say that most recently, and I've done this now a few times too, we brought up like, oh, the AFC matchup, Mahomes and Watson. I can't wait to see those. Those are two young gods. And we named the episode that. And you're like, and they were both picked after Trubisky. And I was like, all right, you're shitting on the Bears too much. And Trubisky, you're like, well, it's a big point. I have to take a step back and be like, I'm never a Bears fan. I have a lot of Bears friends because I grew up in Illinois and Chicago here. And I try not to dump on him for, I think, that reason that I've been very fair with Trubisky here. I don't think I could find a Chicago Bears fan now after this game that wouldn't agree with me and say, Trubisky is not a quarterback in the NFL.
He is not an NFL quality quarterback.
That's what I mean, quality.
I had to fight so many of these mouth-breathing, dumb shit, motherfucker, West Illinois, dumb fuck, yokel motherfuckers.
Now, see, this is where I won't go, but I see what you're saying here. Is
you
that-
podunk, pole-smoking assholes. They kept telling me how great Mitch Trubisky was. Mitch Trubisky's great. You got to believe in Mitch. Fuck you. Scout a quarterback because your GM isn't. Mitch Trubisky's been terrible from the word go. You need to listen to me. Ryan Pace should have listened to me, and he should have gone with literally anybody else. He should have drafted fucking Solomon Thomas.
And what I'm hearing in all this is if you're an LA Rams fan, and you're Jared Goff, uh-oh. Because if anything is going to continue correctly what Dan says, you're the next guy that's going to bottom out here fast. But, no, this was, oh, he, the amount of times I heard in this game, yeah, you got to make that throw if you're Mitchell Trubisky. You got to get that throw.
you got to make that throw. Oh, my God.
It was so many, and they just kept marching their punter out there, and it was like, this is not going to ever be a game. And that was fine for me in the long run because somebody's got to be the seller of this defense, and Detroit looked pretty good in there. But, yeah, this really, if you're Bears now, I don't know what you do. Obviously, you run the ball more. Seven times is not going to help you at all. You can't get behind in these games because if you want Trubisky to drop back 50 sometimes and beat you, good luck. I don't see that happening.
I'm not going to say that Mitch Trubisky is one of the worst. I'm not going to say he's the worst, but Mitch Trubisky's selection at the number two pick is one of the worst picks in the history of NFL.
Mm.
And people say, well, Jamarcus Russell was worse, but Jamarcus Russell was drafted number one overall as a quarterback in a draft that the other quarterback positions that were available were filled by Brady Quinn,
mm-hmm.
John Beck, Drew Stanton, and Kevin Cobb.
Well, now, Drew Stanton played for quite a while.
He played for quite a while as a backup.
Always as a backup.
So that was the draft class. That was the quarterback draft class that he came out to.
Yeah.
So you could say he was a bad pick, but really, you couldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Trubisky was drafted number two overall ahead of two future potential Hall of Famers. Two soon-to-be All-Pros.
Mm-hmm.
Two soon-to-be multi-time Pro Bowl quarterbacks. And Mitch Trubisky was selected ahead of them. This was one of the worst jobs Ryan Pace has ever done as a GM, was selecting this moron.
If you're a Bears now, do you go to Chase Daniel?
I think if you want a chance in this division, you have to, but I think legitimately you can't.
Yeah,
you have to ride this Trubisky thing into the ground at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's terrible. You almost have to crater the rest of your season and go, maybe he'll figure it out. He won't. But you have to crater the rest of the season so that you can clear and free wash your hands of this kid.
Yeah, we tried. We gave him every opportunity.
Gave him every opportunity. Look at the offensive line we provided him. We got him Allen Robinson, who is a fucking amazing. Allen Robinson was great in this
game. Yes, he played great. Yeah, there's no taking that away from Robinson there. And he has to catch some passes on his own.
He's had to catch passes. Poor Allen Robinson,
mm-hmm.
who has had to catch passes from, in this order, going backward, Mitch Trubisky, Blake Bortles, and who's the fucking kid out of Penn State? The shit-ass kid that never... Oh, yeah, Christian Hackenberg. The last three most prominent quarterbacks he's caught a ball from are Trubisky, Bortles, and Hackenberg. Somebody get Allen Robinson a fucking hug.
Yeah, this is a rough one. Okay, so not to belabor it then. Let's move on. The Bears.
If you disagree, if you think Mitch Trubisky has anything left in the tank, please let me know.
Okay.
Please reach out to me on social media. I'll give you my fucking phone number. Like, come call me. Just, we need to have a conversation because I'm going to get you committed.
We talk about the you know, okay, Bears, if you play from behind, good luck catching up with anybody. They are playing the team that doesn't want to ever play ahead. The LA Chargers are coming to Chicago to play the Bears. Who do you take in this mess?
Absolutely the fucking Chargers.
Yeah.
I know that the Chargers can't win a game, but Trubisky can't make a fucking throw.
Mm.
Unless this comes down to a battle of special teams, what are the Bears going to do?
One thing that was awesome here is Ryan Ramczyk for the Saints leaving Khalil Mack with nothing. He couldn't get to Teddy Bridgewater in this game.
Khalil Mack's been stoned for a couple different games this year because they're just like, well, we can't let him beat us. And then they made sure that he didn't. He didn't beat the Raiders, and he didn't beat the Saints.
And not having Hicks inside and stuff like that, that's big. You can focus more on him, and I think he's going to notice that throughout the rest of the season. It's going to be tougher for him. I'm having a real hard time picking this game. I'm trying to delay it. Screw it. I'll take Chargers, too. Good. I think Chargers could do this one. And
it's the game you want. It's the win you want.
It's the win I want, so it'd be easier to cheer on that side of it. But God dang it, man. Chargers don't like to win the games they're supposed to win either.
No, they really don't.
This should be one of them, but we'll see what happens. And then the Arizona Cardinals, the three wins in a row.
Arizona Cardinals. 3-1
are going to the Superdome. They're playing the Saints.
Yeah, they're
going to
get fucked.
And there's a chance that Breeze comes back. Now, this was going on during the Bears game. They're like, yeah, Drew Breeze has kind of been saying and hinting at that he wants to come back next week at home against the Cardinals, even though after this game they have a bye week.
I hope he doesn't. I hope they give Drew 2 weeks.
Yeah, they don't need to rush him back, but I guess at this point if he's ready to go and he says he wants to go, then you put Breeze in.
What are you worried about? Rust?
Right.
Let him heal, man. Let that fucking ligament in the thumb heal. I don't understand why you would put Drew Breeze in, especially with the games Teddy Bridgewater. This is the best game he's had all year.
Yeah.
You know, play the hot hand.
He's kind of rolling into it. That's true. But yeah, we're taking the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Taking the Saints in this one. All right.
This would be my upset of the year if the Cardinals beat them.
If the Cardinals beat the Saints. Wow. Okay. Let's talk about the game in the upper Northwest in Seattle, where the Baltimore Ravens rolled in and won 30-16. Dan, you took the Ravens. I was on Seattle's bandwagon, and I said I want the Ravens to show me something so that I believe in them, specifically Lamar Jackson. Dan, he did that in this game.
Are you officially on board? Are you on the Lamar bus?
Here's the thing. If this is how he's going to play, which is not a way that I've seen anybody play, like even Vic had the threat of like, well, no. I mean, he had a Vic-esque game. He would fling the ball down the field a couple times to open guys, rookies who'd catch passes 30 yards down the field. He played this game like he could be an MVP candidate this year. Lamar Jackson, that's what I'm saying.
Good to have you aboard. This is one of those things we... Scouting, guys. Like I said, the best scouting...
I still question if he could keep this up. I still question if this is something that he can keep going once he's 3-4 years into this league. But sure. For right now in this season, yeah.
So he still has got to figure out some of his mechanics throwing-wise. He was only 9-for-20. That's not going to cut it long-term.
Right.
But you know what is going to cut it long-term? 116 rushing yards and a touchdown.
That's nuts.
That's plenty of juice.
Long-term this season. I'm saying long-term 3-4 years. Who knows?
I'm not worried about down the road, man. I'm worried about what he's going to give me 2 or 3 years from now. When he hits 30, is the angle of declination going to be harsher for him than most other pocket quarterbacks? Absolutely. But he's years away from that, man. We got another 6 years of quality Lamar Jackson on our hands.
Remember what we were talking about on the other side of the coin here in the Seattle Seahawks 2 years ago, a little bit last year? Man, Russell Wilson is going out there and winning games all on his own. All on his own. This game was Lamar Jackson doing that same thing to Russell Wilson's team.
And Russell Wilson made a couple bad decisions in this game. That Marcus Peters throw that was returned for a pick six is especially egregious.
Which is not something that Russell Wilson, he had the longest streak since Rodgers had a turnover last year, He had the longest streak of passes without an interception. And that's the one that does it. And Marcus Peters, brand new to the Ravens, pick six.
And that was a real backbreaker. It felt like a backbreaker for the Seahawks. But you also got to remember that this is Earl Thomas there in the secondary. If there's any player on fucking earth that knows Russell Wilson better than Earl Thomas, I'd like to be introduced to him.
Right.
Because Earl Thomas knows him inside and out. So we talk about that a little bit. The Seahawks offense hasn't changed all that much. Earl Thomas is intimately acquainted with it. Earl Thomas is in a new defense that Russell Wilson hasn't seen before. Who's got the advantage?
Yeah.
I know what cards you've got. You don't know what cards I've got. Let's mix it up. I'm going to fight your hand.
It is not easy to win there in Seattle, and not only did they do it, they did it by multiple scores. So, yeah, Baltimore is a team to take seriously now if they can beat good teams, and I think Seattle's a good team, and they just did that.
Baltimore's headed into a bye.
Yes.
And when they get back from that bye, Cleveland may suffer yet another loss. This feels like Baltimore's division.
It could very well be. Cleveland gets the Patriots, and then Baltimore gets the Patriots after that. I'm very interested to see that game.
That's
now.
That's going to be fun.
Especially because I don't get my Mahomes game. Hopefully he's back by the time
something.
I play the Patriots, yeah. The Seahawks, they get a get-right game. They're going to Atlanta.
Oh, they better, yeah. Dan
Who
Quinn
might
is,
have Matt Schaub starting? Who knows?
Dan Quinn's not going to be like, listen, I know this defense real well. You're going to get fucking throttled, Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this is the end of the Dan Quinn era. Somebody please fire Dan Quinn for me so I can move the fuck on.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Falcons, there's not a reason to win this game either. You start cashing out for a high draft pick.
You traded Sanu. Move assets, man.
So I like Seattle on the road here too. All right, we spent enough time away from it, Dan. Eagles 10, Cowboys 37. I did not take this one. I took the Eagles, but you took it, and so did my mom.
Ooh, child, things are going to get easier. That was the theme running in my head the entire game. We went up 14-0.
Can I take a sidestep and
Please.
Say that song, when I first heard it, I think I've told you this before too, instead of saying ooh, child, I thought they were saying boob job. And if you think about
you never
it, the lyrics fit up perfectly in a very blatant way. Boob job, things are going to get easier. Boob job, things will get better. Like, oh my God, are they actually saying this?
Someday.
Da 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 da. Anyways.
Well, you just wrote a plastic surgery commercial, Scott. Congratulations.
Yeah, guys, nobody steal that. Let's talk about the Cowboys drubbing of your only division rival chance, the Philadelphia Eagles.
I said before this game that as disappointed as I was in the Cowboys' three consecutive losses, none of that matters. Go beat Philadelphia. Not only did they do that, Amari Cooper is now officially, and I don't think there's any Eagle fan that would disagree with me, an Eagle killer.
Mm.
I was actually very glad. This is weird. This is just one of those weird little things that I was worried about. I was very glad DeSean Jackson was inactive for this game. DeSean Jackson is a Cowboy killer.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have their Cowboy killer. I had my Eagle killer. This game was over before it started, man. Amari Cooper has some of the best route running. I always talk about how I know a guy is impressive because my wife will comment on him. She watches enough football peripherally
okay.
that she's just like, it fades into the background. For her to say anything about somebody, they have to
pop.
Absolutely
out in that
pop.
Field, yeah.
The last person she said this about was Andrew Luck. When he was playing out of his mind like a year and a half ago. She was like, wow. She's like, he's different. And I was like, absolutely. She was watching the Cowboys game, and Amari Cooper made a fake slant cut. And my wife went, wow, he's quick. And I was like, uh-huh, he abso-fucking-lutely is. One of the best route runners in the league, Amari Cooper. Zeke Elliott absolutely hates these fucking Eagles. Zeke is now a Cowboy for life. Mm-hmm. He is going to begin and end the bad blood feud. Get me a fucking Super Bowl, Zeke.
Zeke looked very impressive in this one. Just a lot of downhill running and little swing out passes where it was like, I don't want to tackle that guy. God, he just throwing shoulders into everybody. So 147 total yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. No, Dallas's offense could do no wrong, and then their defense finally was kind of catching up where they were been lacking lately.
Mm-hmm.
And Wentz and the Eagles couldn't get out of their own way, and it was a rough game pretty quickly.
Yeah, this got out of hand. The Eagles stayed with us. We were 14-0, and then they scored. It was kind of a bullshit thing. Like, we had a roughing the passer call.
Mm.
They would have been shut out on that. That would have been another 3-and-out. We probably would have been 21-0. But they managed to turn that into a long drive down the field. But then we scored 13 unanswered points to finish out the half, and the game felt over by then.
And you finished out the half, I think it was at the end of the half again too, right? With mm-hmm. Maher?
Yep.
63-yarder, which he's now done back-to-back weeks.
He's done back-to-back over 60s. He set two Cowboys records for distance this year.
And he now is like the one of only few kickers to ever kick three over 60-yard field goals and make them.
Yeah, Brett Maher is my Mercury reading for how well these Cowboys are going. When he's on, I'm like, Cowboys are on. When he's off, I'm like, well, he's a wind sock. He's just telling me which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
When he nailed that one from 60-plus, I was like, fuck, this is over.
Shit.
Game over.
The only other stat I have is the Eagles have given up 20 or more first-half points in 5 games this season.
this Eagles defense is not good.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's not 100% their fault.
Yeah.
They are dealing with a lot of injuries. Like, so the Eagles are my arch rival right now. The Redskins are a blood rival. We've talked about this, but the Eagles are my arch rival right now.
Yeah.
For most of my life, the Eagles have been my rival. This is an Eagles team that has lost the battle of attrition already. There's so many injuries. They're on to their third string interior defensive lineman.
Mm.
You know, Fletcher Cox is still there, but they've run through, like, Timmy Jernigan went out. The guy they got from the Jaguars is out. They basically ran through everybody. So the center of their defensive line is absolutely cored out completely. And then their secondary is in shambles. You know, you're playing Sendejo. The dude's just not good enough. Nobody on that defense is good enough anymore.
Mm.
And it shows. And it's unfortunate, but they'll bounce back when they get healthy. I just don't think they'll get healthy this year.
Which is rough because the Eagles heading into this season was like, well, they've got to be one of the NFC favorites to go back to Super Bowl because look at everyone got healthy. That did not last for them. And all of a sudden, they're back down to where they were. And
Jason Peters also injured in this game. Andre Dillard composed himself and comported himself well.
Yeah.
So good pick there.
Dillard has gotten better, honestly, with more snaps he's taken, but it's still going to take a little bit before he ever gets up to what Jason Peters was ever. And he may never.
I don't think they wanted him to take over for Peters right now. I think they wanted him to take over for Peters next year and, you know, do well. But he looks like he was a good pick.
Yeah. So rough loss for the Eagles and the Cowboys. I mean, this was both teams 3-3 heading into it, so really it's just a game lead. But I don't see the Cowboys giving up too much more of a difference if no contrition hits them when they go and play the Eagles in Philly. So
if we can beat... So I feel like we're going to get 6 wins in division. And when you get 6 wins in division, you should wrap the division up, unless you're the fucking 2014 Rams.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to wrap that shit up. I feel like that's where the Cowboys are headed. We don't have a real favorable schedule coming up, but neither do the Eagles. And the Eagles are not as talented.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. You guys get a bye week and rest it up this week. What are you going to do with your time?
We're going to do some probably trick-or-treating with the baby. That should be fun. I'm still going to watch 3 games on Sunday. just because I'm a heroin addict doesn't mean I won't do pills.
Plus, I mean, bye weeks or no, we got to give the people what they want.
I got to give the juice. You got to give them the juice.
All right, Dan, we're going to talk about a Dolphins game outside the 2-minute no offense, but we can make it fast.
Rare.
Dolphins lose to the Bills as they probably planned on it. 31-21, but a tight game. I thought Fitzpatrick in there made him a little bit more of a real football team.
Yeah, but that's probably going to get him benched.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick gets the ball out faster than Rosen does. I still think Rosen has more arm talent, more overall talent, but that offensive line is fucking awful.
Yeah.
They can't get anything going consistently. They can't really get a running game going consistently. This Buffalo Bills defense was almost surprised by how shitty the Dolphins were and let them kind of run on them.
Right.
Inexplicably, but these Dolphins are bad. This was still a division game. I feel like anybody other than a divisional team, they would have gotten beaten very badly.
I think you're right. I think it speaks to it being two teams that know each other somewhat well. This game was 14-9 Dolphins at the half because the Dolphins got a couple of good touchdowns in there and the Bills had to keep settling for field goals. But once the Bills took the 14-17 lead at the start of the fourth, there was no turnaround. There was a Dolphins fumble, the Bills to get it even more up 24-14. I liked the Fitzpatrick run into the end zone, throws his shoulder in there. He was still trying. Like, seeing a player in a Dolphins uniform trying here, you're like, got to talk about that.
It's going to get you cut and traded, I'll tell you that much right now.
But he throws it in there to make it a tight game, but then it became just a chance for an onside kick, and Micah Hyde takes that to the house.
Micah Hyde.
So this game was closer than what? It was 21-24 when they tried that onside kick. So Dolphins were kind of in it, and maybe in it as much as they wanted to be.
I don't think it speaks anything about either of these teams. That's the unfortunate part.
It
doesn't. It's not a damning thing for the Bills. It's not a real pep-up story for the Dolphins. This game felt like it didn't need to happen.
Nah, you're probably right.
It felt like, oh, you got to get a win. We got to get a loss. Let's just do this for 60 minutes.
Unfortunately, there's been too many years in the AFC East outside of the Patriots. Ugh. Games that just don't matter. The Eagles go to Buffalo. They're playing the Bills this week.
I am not going to take the Eagles in Buffalo because Buffalo's defense has shown me that they are fucking legit. And like I said, I'm not taking anything from this Miami game. I hope I hope that for my own sake that the Bills wind up beating them, because it would give me even more of distance from my hated arch rival, the fucking Eagles. Mm-hmm. But I really do feel like the Bills can win this game with the defense they've got and enough offensive weapons.
Yeah. No, I think Buffalo do pretty good in this one, too. I have the Bills winning, probably low scoring game.
I feel likely, that way. Yeah.
Even though the Eagles defense, one of their things is give up a bunch of points. I just don't think the Buffalo's offense is up there. And that's going to be the one thing that keeps Buffalo from being a team that maybe takes the AFC, is their offense just isn't up to snub with their defenses yet. But something to build on. And then the Monday night matchup, the Miami Dolphins to Pittsburgh. They're playing the Steelers.
Oof, what a shit tank game.
There's been a lot of these on Monday night this season. A lot of just games it's like I don't care to...
Monday night's the new Thursday.
Yeah, don't care to really pay much attention to it. This last one with the Patriots, even the week before that, was like, okay, whatever.
I'm going to take the Dolphins.
You're taking the Dolphins.
I'm going to take the Dolphins to be a surprise. Yeah, they've got to get a win somewhere. Yeah. I just feel it.
Do they?
No, they don't. But I was the guy that said the Dolphins were going to be on the border of the playoffs at the beginning of the year before they started making all these trades.
Sure.
So, here, get one. Get one on me, Miami. Have it.
I have no idea who the Steelers are starting at quarterback, but it doesn't matter. They're playing a team that's actively not looking to win, Dan. I'm taking the Steelers. Just give me that
win. You're probably right. But it's Monday night. Nobody gives a shit.
That's true. All right. Let's talk about the last game of the Week 7 lineup, and that was the Jaguars winning in Cincinnati. They beat the Bengals 27-17. I took the Jaguars in this one,
you
Dan.
Did indeed.
You were on the Bengals side of hoping they'd get that one win, and they still have not.
I really feel like we might be going for an 0-15 and 0-15 game, or 0-14 and 0-14. So that could be a real slobber knocker. These Cincinnati Bengals, I feel like they're not even improving. I feel like Zach Taylor still doesn't have a hold on what it is to be an NFL head coach.
No, he doesn't. And that's fine. I mean, Dalton threw 3 interceptions in this game, and I think the Jaguars' defense is still good, even without
Jalen Ramsey.
Ramsey in there anymore. The linebackers are still some of the fastest in the league, and everything else that you can see from them. They'll put pressure on the quarterback. So when it's a tight game like this, it was 7-6 Bengals at the half. The Jaguars are just going to be that good. Now, they had a nice opening drive. They take it all the way to the goal line and then fumble. And then their next 2 drives start pretty much at their 1-yard line on the other side. So all of that, as good as the Bengals started this game with, like, hey, here's second life. They're not going to run a touchdown in on you. And then your punting team is putting them so far back into the deep end. It wasn't enough to keep these Jaguars down from still scoring 27 points in this game.
Yeah.
Minshew only had 1 touchdown, but Fournette is finally running like he was his rookie year. And then you're hitting, like, Westbrook on an amazing pass in there. Like I said, Church came into his own. He didn't really have great stats in this one, but Jaguars have weapons here. Now, they're not a team that's going to do anything this year, but that's a team that you can certainly build on. You lost a big old piece with Jalen Ramsey, but you got some nice draft picks that you can make some moves on for next year.
I mean, that's 2 first-round draft picks. That's 2 starters.
Yeah.
So, worst-case scenario, that's what you're dealing with. You're traded Jalen Ramsey for at least 2 starters.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like the Bengals are very soon going to be selling. Because they have to. A guy like Geno Atkins has got to be on the trade block.
Right.
You know, he's too far into his career. He's been a lifelong Bengal. AJ Green's got to be on the trading block. I want to see these Bengals start shelling off assets and just admit it. Mm-hmm. Just, you're rebuilding, man. Just be done with it. Your offensive line isn't that great anyway. You need to help. You need help there. You can spend some money in free agency to improve your offensive line the quickest. Everybody else, go get young players.
That's the one thing. The 3 interceptions that Dalton threw in this game were all in the 4th quarter when the game was still in reach at 17-10. So if the Bengals were also looking to lose out and get a top draft pick, that was the smart way to move there. But otherwise, oh boy, I think we're seeing the end of Andy Dalton if we haven't already. The Bengals are still winless since firing Marvin Lewis. Has to be
this
said.
Is the curse. The curse of Marvin. I do want to talk about one thing.
Please.
Geno Atkins' contract is rough.
It's a rough
thing to move, but he's also 31 years old. The Bengals would have to eat a decent amount of cap hit, but he's also still a guy you may be able to get like a second and a fourth for.
Mm.
So this is an asset. It's a 31-year-old depreciating asset on the defensive line that you can walk away from pretty clear at the end of this year. So if you're a team, that maybe the Dallas Cowboys, that want a kind of low-rent defensive player to shore up the interior of your line, maybe willing to give up a second rounder for him.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not a bad choice there. All right, so the Bengals go to L.A. They're playing the Rams this week. What are my thoughts?
Ugh, God, I have to take the Rams, don't I?
I think we both had to take the Rams there.
I'm real bummed out about that.
And the Jets go to Jacksonville. They're playing the Jags.
The Jets are going to lose. this Jacksonville defense is not necessarily better than New England's defense because New England has Bill Belichick, and he's always going to tell you how to get into the soul of a man.
Right.
I just said hole of a man.
Yeah.
Both. He goes through your hole to get your soul every single time. So I just worry that Sam Darnold's going to have a real strong regression after these 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. He was so hyped after that Cowboys win. How did we lose to them, by the way? but he was so hyped, and then he's just right back down to earth, and I think the Rams are going to crater him.
Yeah. And no, you mean the Jaguars.
Oh, sorry, the Jaguars are going to crater.
But the Rams will crater Dalton, and the Jags will
crater. He's used to that,
crater
though.
Darnold, and Dalton and Darnold will both be cratered. Yeah, there you go. I'm taking the Jaguars, too, so both those home games will take the home teams.
Did we disagree at all?
Yeah, there's two games in there, me taking the Bucks on the road, and the other one as I'm screwing up.
That's a bit of a reach.
Yeah, the Bucks, and you had the Titans, and then the other one is, I'm going to find it before
I feel like I made a reach
go.
On this one.
You did. I think it was the, you took the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
I took
no,
the Steelers.
That's a stupid thing. But, yeah. Hey, you know what? Fuck it.
And so we look at these games and seem like, it's such an easy pick or whatever to make these, but neither of us have gone a full 14 correct games this season.
It's hard, man.
So there's going to be some surprises here for week 8 for we get reached halfway through.
We say that as we're about to go 13-1 each.
Yeah. Or we're very good at picks. But our picks after this week, let's get us caught up in where we are. I'm at 63 correct. Dan, you're right there at 60. We split this week.
Yeah.
Once again, we're still three apart from each other. My mom took one more from us. She's at 66.
Ah.
So we'll she moves
her.
Up another three. Yeah, but we've been behind the whole time.
we'll never catch her, but we're going to feel like we'll catch her.
But that's our picks, you guys. Next week, we're halfway through the season, so we'll be talking about maybe a look into our guesses for MVP, rookies of the year, coach of the year, things like that. Maybe give our top five, bottom five teams. I think that's a fun time to do that at,
We'll
too.
Officially be done with the trade deadline. The trade deadline will have expired, so we'll give you all your last-minute trade wrap-ups as well.
That's right. Get a good look at who is going to be on what roster for the rest of the season and that big postseason that's going to be.
And who gave up what? What's the draft board look like? Because you know you love the draft.
That's right. And that'll just months away. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode of the Push Off Podcast. We have these shows up every Wednesday morning for you to enjoy right before the beginning of the next week and kick off on Thursday Night Football. Check us out at thepushoff.com. It's thepushoff.com. All of the great shows at Universe Head is at universehead.com. Check out all the podcasts there. There's a lot of fun ones that all of our friends do. All right, Dan, I got a crazy stat for you.
Oh, yeah.
Who has...
I fumbled through my crazy stats.
That's all right. I love that crazy stat. So I only got one. It's a pretty easy one. What QB has the top passer rating right now?
Right now?
Top QB pass rating.
Is it Jacoby Brissett?
It's Kirk Cousins.
Oh, wow.
Kirk Cousins leads the NFL in passer rating through week 7, everybody. Get that in your head. 114.3. Second place at 114.1.
Jacoby?
No, Jacoby's not on this list. Top three.
Dak?
It's Russell Wilson.
Oh, that makes sense, too.
Third is Mahomes there at 113.1.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Mahomes, Wilson, but Kirk Cousins at the top.
You feel good about that contract?
I feel great about it. Well, I feel great about where he's at right now.
Contract's still a bit onerous.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, thanks guys so much for joining us. Like I said, we do this every Wednesday, so come back next Wednesday. Listen to what we got for us next week. Dan, parting words of wisdom.
4-3 feels a lot better than 3-4, doesn't it, Philadelphia? Can you feel me, entire city of bullshit nutsuckers? God, I hate you, Philadelphia. But thanks so much for making my week brighter. Love you. Kisses.
Love you, Todd. All right, guys. That's another episode of the Push Off Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
We hope you have a wonderful week. This is the Push Off. Goodbye.